The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey guys, with sports betting season in full force with football here, you need a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sports book industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BETUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 1-800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. You'll receive 125% sign-up bonus by using bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses. Also, BetUS is known among America's favorite sportsbook for lots of reasons. Bet on team and player props, loads of NFL futures, UFC matches, PGA golf, live betting on most sports. The online casino has hundreds of games. The Racebooks has all the horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable. Follow my lead and get your phone, online, and sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. Bet US.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
We kick off hour two of the Chuck Oliver Show. On a Wednesday, that means you know what hour one was like. It involved Chris Landry. Chris Landry joins us every single Wednesday, bottom of hour one, and talks LandryFootball.com and everything going on in the SEC, to the Pac-12, to the NFL draft, to high school recruiting, to all of that. I got Russ Mitchell coming up a little bit later on in the program as well. And then also Kelly Quinlan. We're going to talk Georgia Tech as they prepare for week two. Coming off just one of the more disappointing losses any Power 5 team had this weekend, that's for sure. But right now, I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football, every single day. This is CFB 365.
Headline, Georgia wide receiver Blaylock cleared to play. That's an accurate statement. Georgia sophomore wide receiver Dominic Blaylock, this is his second big knee injury, I believe, that he's finally on the I'm almost back from. Dominic Blaylock has been cleared to play, but this is sounding a little bit like the JT Daniels from last year. Kirby Smart says, quote, it's about confidence and feel when Blaylock is ready to see the field. Now, the confidence, I think that's going to be a lot. He's saying it's going to be a confidence and feel thing. Confidence is on Dominic Blaylock's part. You can watch a kid, and you can tell if he's cutting it loose. And y'all know what that phrase is. It's very nonspecific, but you know exactly what it means. He's not cutting it loose. Dominic Blaylock again, coming back, being cleared. Confidence on his part, and then feel on the part of the coaching staff. He and Kyaris Jackson, I don't know about George Pickens. He and Kyaris Jackson, when they get back in, and they will, and maybe as soon for Blaylock, maybe Saturday against UAB, then you'll see that offense kind of unfold a little bit. I am confident. Headline, Redbox Bowl canceled for 2021 season. The bowl season has been reduced from 42 games to, quote, only 41. Brett McMurphy had this, and so I trust him as much as anybody. The Redbox Bowl should have featured the Pac-12's sixth selection and the Big Ten's seventh selection. And the Redbox Bowl was reportedly unable to find... I couldn't get a sponsor? No, they're the Redbox Bowl. They have a sponsor. I was telling you about the Texas Kickoff Classic and the Vegas Classic. college football games this past, yet they didn't have a sponsor. The Red Box Classic, they already got the sponsor. Do you know what they couldn't find? A television partner. I've seen far worse bowls than the Red Box Bowl, televised. And what you do is, all you have to do is pick a Saturday or a Sunday or a Tuesday night, give it a three-hour window by itself, which you can find. I watched the Bahamas Bowl with, I want to say, Central Michigan. And was that Western Kentucky with that crazy play at the
end?
Yep,
that was the first Bahamas Bowl.
2014. Buddy of mine runs it. She invited us down there for it. Good, good girl. Love her to death. She invited us down there for it back in 14. And I was like, hang on. So I can go watch college football and eat all the Popeyes that I want. She's like, yep. I think I might be in. Tremendous ending to that ball game. But they had like 70 people in the stands. And why? Western Michigan, Western Kentucky, like Christmas Eve. I'm busy. And if you're not busy, the Bahamas is a heck of a place to go, especially if they got fried chicken. But the Red Box Bowl does not have it. That game was televised. I watched it. Red Box Bowl, unable to find a television partner, which absolutely blows my mind. Someone would bet on that game. Again, I just said Western Michigan and the Hilltoppers. This would have been Pac-12, Big Ten, for gosh sake. So, no TV partner. And then the final story today, and this is a little sad, Sam Cunningham passed. He was 71. Who was Sam Cunningham? Sam Cunningham was a setup by Bear Bryant. You can go ahead and close the music. Consider yourself up to date. Sam Cunningham was a little bit of a setup by Bear Bryant. Sam Cunningham was this very large black man who played fullback at USC. And when I say very large black man, all of that has to be included. He was ahead of his time, like running back-wise. And you have to say black man because this is a big part of the story. Bear Bryant scheduled USC in 1970, and they came into Legion Field, and they blasted Alabama. And by one version of the story, it's what Bear Bryant wanted. He wanted Alabama fans. No USC fans going to travel from Los Angeles to Birmingham to watch a football game. Not in 1970. Wasn't easy to get to. So USC, which was a fully integrated squad, they showed up and they whooped Bama. Next year, Alabama started taking black players. Sam Cunningham, the quote from, I'm trying to remember who the Alabama assistant coach was that said Sam Cunningham did more to integrate Alabama in 3 hours than Martin Luther King did in 20 years. He had the Alabama fan base, by the way, 51 years ago, the Alabama fan base, for the most base reason possible, the most bottom line, you kind of backdoor it. You know, Arizona adopted King Day as a holiday so they could keep a Super Bowl. All right, you just kind of take the outcome sometimes and don't worry about the motivation. But Bear Bryant was like, yeah, we're gonna get integrated. We're going to start taking black players. And the next year they did, and then boom, national championships, plural, in the 70s. So Sam Cunningham passed, though, and he was 71, and he went on to a really strong NFL career, played fullback for the New England Patriots mid through the late 70s, and just a tough, tough, tough guy. But he will always be remembered for being the guy who at least fast-forwarded what was going to happen at some point anyway. Sam Cunningham decided, you know, again, the outcome of him playing was it's not going to be sometime, it's going to be right now. And so he passed, and like I said, college football legend, absolutely. And Bear Bryant, again, by a telling of the story, that's kind of the outcome that he was looking for. So condolences to everybody who loves Sam Cunningham. Again, 71 years old. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, continue next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
College football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show continuing on a Wednesday. I had mentioned Sam Cunningham and that he was kind of ahead of his time by, you know, a couple of decades because of his size. He was 6'3", about 230 pounds. 6'3", 230 wasn't a running back very often in the 1970. It might have been a defensive end. Or a guard. Okay, that's that would have been 6'3", 230, and he was playing running back. So he was a load, no doubt about that at all. Already talked about one of the more disappointing results from the weekend for any team, especially a Power 5 team. Georgia Tech losing, and I originally said they lost at home. It doesn't matter where. It could be at Northern Illinois. It could be on Pluto. Georgia Tech lost to Northern Illinois, and that should not have happened. I want to welcome on now a guy who will unmuddy the waters and tell us why it happened from Jackets Online. It is Kelly Quinlan. Kelly, how are you today, man?
I'm good, Chuck. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Why did it happen Saturday? Because I looked at some of the numbers, and I could see some turnovers, and there was some sloppy play. I also saw Georgia Tech kind of able to run the ball. Why did they wind up losing at home to Northern Illinois?
They still can't punch the ball into the end zone when they need to. They missed two field goals. They had a touchdown overturned in the end zone. Just sloppy things like that. You know, you had one of the field goals they missed. The kicker slipped and fell. You know, one of them just tailed off. Just those little things. You know, they came out. Jeff Sims didn't play well at the beginning of the game. Then he got hurt. They turned to Jordan Yates. He sparked the team. They came back. And then gave up the two-point conversion at the end to, you know, lose the game. It was just sloppy. It was not a tight performance. I thought the offensive coordinator, Dave Padno, had actually called a pretty good game. They missed wide-open receivers on some explosives. And really, each drive, they had to kind of grind the ball out. Almost shades of Paul Johnson. They were power running the ball down the field and just really couldn't get, you know, any separation at all. They got up one touchdown. That was it. So, you know, that's not what you're looking for when you play that. And, you know, Coach Collins continues to struggle in non-conference games against lesser foes.
You mentioned Jeff Sims getting injured, and that was on that fumbled snap again, wasn't it? Which was a big problem last year. What is his status as of midweek?
So Dave Padno, the offensive coordinator, said to expect to see him Saturday. He's at practice. You know, if I were a betting man, you know, I don't know that he's going to start. I think Jordan Yates gave you the spark. You let him go out there and play against Kennesaw State. If you can't win with, you know, your backup quarterback, I don't know what you do in that situation with Kennesaw State. And I think you give Jeff Sims time to heal up if you think he's the guy. Give him time to rest and get him ready for the ACC slate, which starts at Clemson the week after that.
All right. You know, I mentioned something on Monday, for instance. I said, you know, Montana is a great FCS program. They're Washington. You're not supposed to lose to Montana. How did this happen? Because, again, I'm talking year three of Jeff Collins being coach of a Power 5 program. And I know the changeover needed to happen, and there was a big deal with the offensive line, and you got to have a different quarterback. Some of that was baked into it. But we're now into year three of Jeff Collins. How are you having results like this?
You know, I think that's a good question. I think that's what people wonder about. What's interesting is he had similar issues at Temple. They lost to Villanova and Buffalo and then went 7-1 in the American and that season. Just he's been here before, and that's something we talked about with him yesterday. It's kind of interesting. I don't know what that is. You know, in Georgia Tech, they come from having Paul Johnson, who was 18-3 in these games, and the three losses were all flukes. That were very random situations. So, you know, now Jeff's, I think, 1-6, 1-5, something like that, against these type of teams at Georgia Tech. So, you know, I don't know what you do. Like, you should be able, in theory, line up and ram the ball down their throats, right? And line up and stop them on defense. And for something, something's getting lost in translation. You know, year one, I think they did have some personnel issues, but the team looks like any other team you'd see right now. I don't quite know what the issue is now. I think they got to learn how to win, maybe, Chuck. I'm playing psychologist at that point, but maybe that's part of it. Maybe they're tight and they're not playing loose. I don't know.
How have some of the it's only been 1 week, but how have some of the transfers on defense acquitted themselves through fall camp and expectations and then actually going out there and playing a game?
You had A.C. Lee who came in as the middle linebacker, and he, you know, he had a decent game. He had one really bad mistake in the fourth quarter when they were trying to get off the field, and NAU was driving to try to tie the game. He fell down, lost his footing, and a guy picked up a first down where it should have been maybe a third and long. You know, he was a guy who played a lot. Devin Cochran played a left tackle. You had Nick Penley started right tackle, so both tackles were transfer kids. Kyrick McGowan had a really good game, should have had two touchdowns, had one, catching the ball down the field. So, yeah, I think they did pretty well. Some good players. You know, I'm still curious to see Kevin Harris, the kid that got from Alabama. He only played snaps on defense. So I'm curious to see some of these other kids. Maybe we'll see them against Kennesaw State this week.
Yeah, wrapping up with Kelly Quinlan, again, covers Georgia Tech for JacketsOnline.com. You mentioned Kennesaw State, and that's what I want to wrap up with. How much of a threat is this? How much of a conversation does a Tech fan need to have leading up to kickoff on Saturday?
I think if it's a threat, there's much bigger issues with this program than Kennesaw State. You know, I know Coach Bohanna really well, known him for a long time. Their team is very beat up going into this, and they're just not as talented. Like, you should be able to line up and beat Kennesaw State. And if they can't do that in year three, then Jeff Collins is going to have to really look, take a long, hard look in the mirror and make some changes or tweak something, or I don't know, because I don't think there's a lot of coming back. You could ask Paul Hewitt, the former basketball coach of the Kennesaw State.
Last thing I want to ask you is specifically that. How do you just think on a personal level, how do you think Coach Collins is handling it right now? Because it was supposed – like, there was understanding. It might have even been year zero, given the gargantuan changeover on offense that they had in 2019. All of that is gone now. That's been my perception over the last 4 days. How has he been handling it?
I think he's mad. I think he's frustrated. I think everyone is that's around the program. I think the players are frustrated. That wasn't what they wanted. They didn't put out what they wanted to. They had the smallest crowd in 26 years for a home game that was not a COVID game. You know, that all of those things are not what you're looking for if you're Todd Stansberry at this point, or Jeff Collins. And I think he's got to figure out how to make it work, right? That's why he gets paid $3 million. Like, you got to figure out how to win football games. They didn't bring you here to, you know, be worse than Chan was, or George O'Leary, or Paul, or Bobby Ross. Like, Bobby Ross had two rough years, but then turned it around. You got to start to see something here, and they got to start winning some games. They need to be in the hunt in the Coastal. And I think if they can win this week and then start to play better in ACC play, I think it'll turn things around. But those are a lot of ifs.
Yeah, was it 33,000 is the number I saw? Was that kind of accurate?
33.6 is what they announced. It might have been, you know, that's what they announced.
Sure.
So I don't know if that's butts in the seats or not, but it was disappointing. It was the worst crowd I've seen here for a game, and you know, outside of last year. And I think that, you know, that's a bad sign, right? Like, you were playing a night game on Saturday night, hadn't had a full house in over a year, and or the ability to, and people still didn't show up, and they didn't know they were going to lose the game. So that's tough, man. Like, and that's got to be a little bit of a kick to the kids, too, to not have a full house when you go out in the field.
Kelly, appreciate it as always, man. We will talk with you soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck.
All right, Kelly Quinlan again from JacketsOnline.com. If you aren't aware, and you shouldn't be, because we're on in Georgia, I don't know, about 10 places, but we're on, you know, like 40 places that aren't in Georgia. So you shouldn't be aware. Kennesaw State, the campus, you got about a 3-minute drive, and you can be on 75 South from there. You don't turn. You would turn left onto 75 South, drive about, I don't know, 25 minutes, and you're at Georgia Tech, there is a chance that it won't be. It's going to be a home game for Kennesaw State. It's not possible for it to be a home game for Kennesaw State. They're going to be represented, I promise you. Tickets, they are available. That is one thing that Georgia Tech has not been able to do is even tie into the local fan, just the casual who wants to see a college football game, a Power 5 game on a Saturday. And so that was another issue. In fact, if you go back, that was one thing that my understanding was, and he didn't say this to me, but my understanding was Paul Johnson, that was one of the issues that he had is his final season, he walks out of the tunnel. They're playing, I think it was Virginia that day, to maybe at least tie for the Coastal Championship. And there's like 38,000 people in the stands. He's like, we might win something here. And so that was enough for him.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY. And there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It does not have to be a sexy matchup on a national scale to intrigue a football fan. This weekend in the SEC, it is not a great slate of games. It's not a great schedule of games. And nationwide, I don't know if there's anybody in like Wichita who really cares about NC State and Mississippi State. I care, and I'm intrigued by that game for a lot of different reasons. But again, that's me, and it's not a great week for the conference. It's probably NC State, Mississippi State is probably the fifth best game in the SEC this weekend. It's a really bad week in the Atlantic Coast Conference because I told you, I think yesterday I was mentioning, that might be the best game in the Atlantic Coast Conference for the weekend. And if it's not that game, it's Pitt and Tennessee. So it's a really bad week scheduling-wise in the ACC. But again, there's all kinds of at least intrigue. Like UAB-Georgia, that intrigues me. Potential national champion taking on a salty team that had an extra 3 days. Because remember, UAB opened on a Wednesday. Is it going to matter? I don't think. But it is something that you can kind of tell yourself to get jacked up for a game on Saturday. I want to welcome on right now good friend of mine, good friend program from College Football News, Football Writers Association of America. This guy votes for the Heisman, for gosh sakes. It is Russ Mitchell. Russ, how are you, brother?
I'm licking my wounds from the embarrassment that was going to the UCLA-LSU game over the week.
Yeah, let's talk about that. What do you do with the brush, okay? And so it's not going to be fair, but it's just one of those general impressions. What do you do as a coach when no one wants to play proper technique and tackle because you can't catch anybody?
Yeah, and, you know, this is it. They're just getting the two things that stick out the most is that, you know, the things that we're just going through offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators like Soda down in the Bayou. And, you know, every year. And the problems that we saw last year in terms of the defense just allowing these huge plays, it continues. I'm not so much worried about the tackling at the end of the game, although that's indicative of, you know, not being focused. Yeah. But the biggest problem for this LSU team is in the trenches, both ways, offensive and defensive. They are getting pushed. They are getting pushed around. And, you know, you can blame Max all you want, but he's only in his, like, what, fourth start? Or,
oh,
you know,
I wouldn't blame Max Johnson for anything.
Well, the throw was really bad.
Oh, that was horrible. But again, it's what you just said. You've got a second-year quarterback, a redshirt freshman, making his third start ever, or fourth start. That this is not an easy thing.
and blitzed on 70% of the plays, and running backs not picking up the blitz, and, you know, shifting the strength on the line, you know, in the wrong directions repeatedly, getting behind on downs, not being able to run the ball. They ran for 49 yards, yeah. LSU. And I will say, you know, we tried to talk about this last week, you know, the fact that there were 11 seniors. Every starter on the UCLA defense was a senior. And, you know, that means something. They don't have the talent LSU does, but there's something to be said for having that sort of continuity. So an embarrassing loss for LSU. We'll see what they do coming forward. But I don't have a lot of optimism.
Let's talk opposite end of the spectrum. And you know, Wednesdays is when we kind of start tilting ahead and looking to the next week's games. But I did want to get your impression about the Georgia-Clemson game, specifically the Georgia defense. I think JT Daniels and the offense, they'll do more when more is required. Talk about UGA on that side of the ball, though, defense.
It's Kirby Smart who learned at the offensive knee of the defensive-minded Nick Saban, right? Which is, despite the fact that Nick's a little bit more explosive now, don't push the offense if you don't have to. And when you've won the game, you know, run out the clock. So I agree with you. I think the offense will be more dynamic. JT was serviceable and didn't, you know, he had the one interception. But look, we talked about this last week, brother. 2 yards rushing? I mean, if you can hold – Clemson struggled to run the ball last year with Travis Etienne. And, you know, this is the best defensive line in college football, the Georgia Bulldogs. So, you know, just exactly what we thought would happen from that perspective. And, you know, no one saw 3 points. I thought their offense would be at least able to move the ball a little bit better. But when you're that one-dimensional and you can't run the ball at all, then, you know, you're not the Clemson team that we've grown used to seeing.
Let's talk a little week 2 action in the Southeastern Conference.
Sure.
Let's talk Arkansas and the Hogs and a successful week 1, but they upped the dial in week 2, obviously, with the Texas Longhorns. And at least part of the game will be without one of their better defenders for targeting, et cetera. Tell me about Arkansas' shot this Saturday.
Yeah, and you know, this is in Fayetteville, so they're going to do the stripe, right? They're going to have the stripe, the different colors in the stands. I love that sort of stuff. I mean, that's what we love about college football is the pageantry. Look, this is a Texas team that rolled with relative ease against, you know, a Louisiana program that was the darling of college football, right? The 23rd ranked, supposedly, team after a good year last year. Card looked okay at quarterback. Bijan Robinson looked like a superstar at running back. I suppose that's the thing if you're Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas struggled. They were losing to Rice midway through the third quarter, right? 17-7. They were down by 10 points to Rice. So that's not good. If you want to hang your hat on anything, you could say that they stuffed Rice for only 81 yards. Didn't allow a run over 7. You know, can they? Maybe they can stop Robinson and make Texas a little one-dimensional. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Texas wins, but that's what you're watching for in this game.
Let's stay out west. Texas A&M. I'm not sure Haynes King shaves yet. And again, making your first start, it's not easy. However, I will list all of the context to explain away the interceptions. If you turn the ball over, you ain't going to play for Jimbo. I know that. Tell me what you
think. 5 times.
Absolutely. Tell me what you think about A&M this weekend.
I mean, 5 turnovers. 4. You can't. I mean, you definitely can't do that against Colorado. So, I mean, that's obviously the thing. And that's the one thing we're watching in this game, because there's no way this is a top 10 team if they're going to have that many turnovers. So, first and foremost, that's what you're looking at. Colorado beat North Colorado. That's important because it's like, you know, playing the Rams. Those in-state games carry a little bit more weight. But they did it. They rolled 35-7. They had a good running game. And they have a decent enough pass rush to get after King. So, you know, basically, at the end of the day, A&M has way more talent than Colorado. They should walk away with this game, right, even with it being played in Mile High. But you're seeing whether or not A&M continues to turn over the ball. That's the game within the game.
Yeah, and Jimbo was never a guy that, you know, some coaches want to get impressed and show everybody how many plays they have in the playbook. That is not Jimbo. When he knows he's got a physical mismatch over somebody, he's just going to pound it. Let's go to Starkville.
Again,
go ahead.
Quickly. another defensive-minded coach who learned at the off, you know, learned offense at the knee of Nick Saban. Or excuse me, I say offensive-minded coach who worked with Nick Saban at LSU.
Mississippi State hosting NC State. Tell me what to look for in this matchup.
But NC State is my is one of my, you know, I think NC win the ACC, brother. You know, if Clemson can't run the ball, keep your eye on this Wolfpack team. They won 45-0 over USF to open things up. They have a really good, you know, a really good run defense. Mississippi State, really sloppy. They had the huge turnover problem, just like A&M. They had the huge turnover problem last year, which A&M didn't have. They had six turnovers last week in barely sneaking away 35-34, you know, in their win last week. So I like NC State in this game. I think NC State is more disciplined. Mississippi State had 12 penalties in week one. I think NC State wins on the road, and I think they win handily. I think they win, you know, and I think NC State wins by double digits.
Wow. See, I was looking, you know, the other, and I wasn't predicting an outcome on it, but when I did my first pass on all the games Sunday night, I looked at this one, and the reason I put a little star beside it is, I guess it's kind of buying into what you're saying. I said, this would be a way bigger win for Mike Leach and Mississippi State than they'll get credit for, because if they beat, it's like, this is a pretty good NC State team. You beat them this early in the year, it's going to be, oh, well, it's just NC State. I agree with you. That is a good squad. I think it would be a very good win for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, you want to impress your friends. I can't believe I'm saying this out loud.
Say it.
But you might want to tell your friends that you think NC State has a chance to win the ACC this year. And, you know, I was impressed with Florida State, but not that impressed. I'm not that sold on Notre Dame yet. That might turn out to be two teams playing at a lower level. Miami struggled. Clemson struggled. Keep an eye on State.
Let's go over to the East real quick, and let's talk Tennessee-Pittsburgh. Again, interesting, not necessarily because it's going to decide a national championship or anything like that, but it is a second opportunity for, I guess, Joe Milton and that offense to get it humming and against a much better opponent than week one with Bowling Green.
Yeah, if you watch that Tennessee game, you know, Milton, 11 of 23, he only had two plays downfield and one of them. And C team would have been right. 300 yards.
All right. We got him still. Is he in a tunnel? Sunspots? Acid rain? What do we got? Dan? All right. Looks like we're getting Russ back. Better line, and now back to Russ Mitchell. Russ, you there, brother? Talk to me about Tennessee. All right, Russ is gone. Well, that was the last game we were going to cover anyway. I want to know what Russ thought about Tennessee, for gosh sakes. We will have to get that recap next week. And again, it was coming off the Bowling Green game, and my impression of it was you did enough to make everybody kind of feel good just on the bottom line numbers. But considering the context of that opponent, it was not the feel-good Thursday night that it really needed to be. And Pittsburgh's not a great team. They're way, way, way better than Bowling Green. And so it won't be easy. It was supposed to be easy against Bowling Green, and some of it was. It's not going to be easy against Pittsburgh. It'd be easy if you were Georgia, I believe. I think it would be easy if you're Alabama. It would be easy, my guess is, Texas A&M. This is not going to be easy. This is actually going to be a good push for Tennessee. It's going to be a good evaluation, good measuring stick of where they are, right? So appreciate Rush coming on. We will break, come back, wrap up on a Wednesday next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
I thought they bounced it when it was right to bounce. They didn't just look to bounce it. And I thought they finished the runs really well, trying to get plus two at the end of it. Majority of the night, their ball security, getting pad under pad, arm bar, two hands on the football. Thought they did a really good job of that.
Josh Heupel talking quarterback play and how to improve. They were 1-0. I said that last Friday after Tennessee beat Bowling Green to start the season, that 1-0, and by the time I come back on the air Monday, that's more than we could say for some other programs, and there were programs all over America who didn't start 1-0 and really should have. So you give them the bottom line credit, but as I said, one of the interesting games for all the wrong reasons, and that is this Saturday with Tennessee hosting Pittsburgh. Dan Matthews is going to pop in here in just a couple of minutes, but right now let me wrap this up with the closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
The transfer portal is not college football free agency. One NFL player can tell you that. Because if it was free agency in college, then the player wouldn't leave after a few days or weeks or months. I present to you Kenny Golladay. Who is that? He's a guy who played actually at Northern Illinois. And he was a third-round pick of the Detroit Lions. Big receiver. Got like 6'3", 200-something pounds. And he was a third-round pick. And he played 2017, 18, 19, and 20 with the Lions. And because he was not a first-round pick, he only gets a four-year deal. If you're a first-round pick, there's a fifth year that NFL teams can activate, but he was not a first-round pick, so he gets a four-year deal. Well, the 4 years, they're up. He has played out his rookie deal in the NFL and then became a free agent. Kenny Golladay cashed in big time. He signed a four-year deal this past spring with the New York Giants for $72 million because he was a free agent. Now, how do I think this is going to go? I think Kenny Golladay is going to play about three games with Daniel Jones and realize just how much of a stud Matt Stafford was. That's how I think this is going to go. You know what Kenny Golladay is not going to do? He's not going to announce, yeah, this really isn't what I thought it'd be. I'm going to go play for Denver now. All right? A month into his new home, Kenny Golladay is not going to say, yeah, I liked it better in Detroit. I'm going back. Because when you're actually a free agent, you can change teams, but you got to stay. Trey Bradford signed with LSU, didn't like it, transferred to Oklahoma, didn't like that either. He has now announced, yeah, I'm going back to LSU. He's a four-star running back, kid out of Texas, and played some last year, didn't play a lot, left, went to Oklahoma, boom, now he's back, according to him. There is one brain cell in the deep recesses of my gray matter, and it is yelling, a football team is not a motel. You can't check in and then check out and then, hey, I'm back. No, that's not how it works. You don't ditch out, have something else not go your way, and then show up and, hey, it's all good. I have a brain cell saying, Chuck, say all that stuff. The truth is, it could turn out Trey Bradford doesn't play at LSU because he portals again. And if it's not Bradford, it will be some other player or 25 some other players. That is what the portal is. It's not free agency. It's actually a lot more difficult to navigate for coaches and teams and programs than free agency. That is my closing argument. Dan, how you doing today?
Oh, great. And as we turn our attention to week two, there is one game that I'm going to be paying a really close attention to on Saturday, and that is A&M at Colorado. This is not going to be a slouch game at all, where you're thinking to yourself, Colorado, they're not what they were under Rick Neuheisel or anybody else, Gary Barnett, that coached that program. But still, it's a decent enough football team that's going to give A&M enough trouble on Saturday. I'll tell you this just ahead of time, is Haynes King, with what he did last week with turning the football over three times, it's probably been ingrained into his mind that that's unacceptable, that cannot happen. And if you do that against a program like Colorado or anybody else, you're going to put us in position to lose a football game. Chuck, I'll go ahead and tell you right now, I think that this is a game that is going to be a close one for A&M for that very reason, that you're still trying to figure out what you have at quarterback, and also to trying to get that part of your game going. If indeed some of those chances are taken again on the road, away from your own place, a first road game of the season, a true test against a Power 5 program, that could be a real bit of trouble for Jimbo Fisher's offense and his team in general heading into this one. And the other part of it as well is it's not easy to play in Colorado ever. You have to prepare for that, and you have to mentally and physically get yourself ready for that. So I will say, going into this game, it shouldn't be just A&M fans looking at it on the schedule and saying, yep, that's a win, let's move on to the next one. This is going to be one that it's got to be all hands on deck, and you have to see offensive improvement, namely out of your quarterback, if indeed you want to keep this thing going in the direction they want to keep it going in 2021.
Yeah, we were talking with Russ Mitchell a little earlier, and he was saying, he was making a point about Max Johnson. And I said, yeah, I don't have any issue with Max Johnson. And there was one throw that Max made where it was immediate pressure coming off the edge. He was still, I think, backpedaling maybe, and it was, he's left-handed, and it was kind of a, just sort of a heave. Dropped down, went crossfire a little, just kind of floated it out there. There was a white jersey, and there were like three UCLA players in kind of general, you know, vicinity, and it was a turnover, and it goes back. That was a horrible outcome. That's a freshman quarterback, a redshirt freshman quarterback, who had already learned some bad habits, who had already learned to react in a bad way. That was a little self-preservation. And part of him getting better is handling that in a better way as he gets more experience just being on the field. I'll say the same thing for Haynes King. I mean, you got a scholarship to play quarterback at Texas A&M or anywhere in the SEC. You got a scholarship to play quarterback from Jimbo Fisher. So that carries more weight. He'll get it figured out, just like Max Johnson will, every single rep during the week, every single practice, everything, and then the game reps really drive it home. If Jimbo picked him, And they've got other good candidates as well, including one playing tight end now. But if Jimbo picked him, it was for about 16 really good reasons. And the turnovers, because it was Kent State, it didn't matter. That was one of those situations where you're supposed to look at it and go, Texas A&M rolled. Look at the numbers, or if you watch the game, they rolled because of the overwhelming talent advantage, almost 1 through 85. They didn't win because of great execution. How you beat Colorado, all right, this week, I agree with Dan. It starts to be, all right, you need some great execution. Jump into the conference, okay, you need some great execution. Against a team like Arkansas, for instance, what did you need 2 years ago? Not much. What do you need now? Great execution. I mean, it's getting harder. It is. And their goals keep going up. So, yeah, this is a big, big game as an indicator. They're going out there to win, and they respect Colorado. I just observe. I don't have to go out and play or coach or do anything else. And so I can look at it as an indicator, kind of that heat check, that strength check. How well prepared are you for when conference play starts? Carl Durrell out yonder, right? Yeah, Carl Durrell. Trying to remember that. When you go through the Colorado coaches, wait a minute, I know who that is. I'm about to say Dwayne Walker. He was the other UCLA defensive coordinator. All right, wraps it up on a Wednesday, folks. 22 hours. Promise. We'll recharge the batteries, and I will be back this time tomorrow right here talking college football on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.